I'm Buzz Knight, the host of the Taking a Walk podcast, Music History on Foot. If you want to keep up with Taking a Walk episodes, or if you want to suggest a guest or be a guest, go to takingawalk.com, subscribe to our newsletter, or leave us a comment. We also appreciate, if you like this podcast, please follow us on Apple Podcast or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Leave us a review or share this with a friend. Today we have a treat. We're virtual because this is how we're going to get this member of rock royalty. And we're so excited. We couldn't miss this opportunity to speak with Brian Johnson, the lead singer of AC/DC. Brian is the legendary frontman, and he's the author of the new book, The Lives of Brian. And I'm honored to have him on Taking a Walk.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Brian.
Is that Buzz?
Yes, sir. I'm so happy to have rock royalty here.
Steady, boy.
Brian, yep. Thanks for being on the Taking a Walk podcast. It's a tremendous honor.
Oh, honestly, it's my pleasure, my son. Anytime.
So, congratulations on The Lives of Brian. I want to talk about that, but I wanted to ask you, take me inside that moment when you're on stage, the lights go down in the stadium, the music begins, the band starts breaking into Rock or Bust or Thunderstruck or whatever the opener is. What does that moment feel like from your perspective when it's happening?
Okay, well, first of all, it's never boring. It's never, you never get used to it, Buzz. It's every nerve is ready to go. You look along your side there, and there's Angus just whacking away on his guitar and moving, and me, you know, I'm limbering up, getting ready. I mean, we go on just like, you know, just when you see football players before they go on the pitch, you know, they're jumping around and moving because, you know, the minute you're going to get on there, you're not going to get a break for 2.5 hours. There isn't any ballads. So, you know, and then you hear the crowd, and then when you do get on, I've got to say this, they say audiences really lift you. I mean, they actually lift you and just give you strength that you just didn't think was there, you know? And off you go. And that's it. That's the end of that. You know, there's no turning back. And what you've got to do is, now I've said it to a few of the singers when they ask what I do, I said, before you go on stage to sing, you fix Bennett. It's as simple as that. You fix a Bennett to your voice and just charge. Otherwise, you know, there's nothing. It's just regular or average. So, it's a fascinating time, Buzz.
Oh, I love it. One of the listeners to our podcast, a guy named Dennis from Tennessee outside of Nashville, he asked me to ask you this question. He said, how do you feel when you see young and old generations jamming their ass off to AC/DC?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, there's not many bands I can have that. And every day I'll get somebody saying, hey, there's a photograph of my grandson, and he's 2, and he's got an AC/DC song, and he's dancing away to some tune or other. And it's just, it makes you feel so good, because, you know, some of these tunes are 40-odd years old, and to not sound dated, to actually sound like that, just, you know, as new as the world all those years ago, it's a pretty good feeling inside, you know?
Oh, it's the soundtrack of our lives, man. My God. So in the book, you talk about the influence of Little Richard. Talk about the first time you heard a Little Richard tune.
Well, it was on, you know, I was off school, I had to go to the dentist or something, and anyway, the television in England then was just awful. You know, there was one channel, and it was on, it came on at noon, and it went off again at 12:30, and then it came on again at about 3, and it was called Watch With Mother, or something. That's awful. And then they said, and now we're going to have an interlude, because they were very posh, the people on the radio. And in this interlude, there's a young chap from America with a new pop song. And he's called Little Richard. And the changed thing, and here was this handsome young black man, hair pushed back, this immaculate jacket on, a little moustache, you know, the tie, he just looked like nothing I'd seen before, and he just burst in, and my jaw, everything dropped, you know, my jaw went south and everything else went north. I couldn't believe how brilliant this was. I mean, it really was a revelation. And I said, I want to sing like that. It was right up there. It was exciting. It was just, and he was exciting too, you know. And of course, I hadn't heard music like that before in my life. I didn't know it existed. Just the boring stuff you would hear on the BBC, you know. And, you know, it was just a defining moment for me and my life, you know, and I couldn't go out and buy the record yet. We couldn't afford it. We didn't have a record player. You know, so it was not until I heard it playing from a woman's house and I banged on the window and I said, could you play it again, please? She said, you cheeky little bugger. Okay, then come on. So she opened the window and put it on again. And she came outside and started doing the hand jive and taught me how to do the hand jive. And I'll never forget her. What a lovely lady. But I got to hear it again.
That's awesome. What a great story. My God.
Yeah.
Brian, how special was it to, you know, have to leave the band due to the hearing loss and then to return triumphantly in 2020? How special was that for you, my friend?
It was more than special. You know, it was, you know, I was 69 or something when I had to give up, you know, and I thought, hey, listen, you shouldn't complain. Who else goes this long? But I think it was the suddenness of it. I mean, it wasn't gradual. I mean, it just hit me after a gig, and the whole operation, it's all in the book, the whole horrible thing that I had to go through with operations and everything. But to get it right again through, you know, Mr. Ambrose, who designed these new earpieces, and I worked with him for 3 years, Stephen, and to get back with the boys in the studio and do an album, I kind of tell you. And it was such a good album too, you know, Power Up. I was so proud of it. And then to rehearse again with the boys in Holland, and we were all ready to rock, you know, to go out. We rehearsed for about 3 weeks, and then the pandemic hit. I mean, talk about bum luck. It was horrible. And there we were, ready to rock. So, you know, that's just the way things go.
Well, and when you really come down to it, you really are a choir boy at heart, right?
I was, yeah. You know, me mother was Catholic, but my father was C of E, or, you know, Protestant or whatever. And so we were confused, to say the least. And I was a choir boy in the Catholic choir because, you know, they paid you money. You got 1 shilling and 6 pence to sing on Sunday morning. And, of course, I first went to the Catholic Mass, and I thought, poor boy, these guys are, you know, that was all kinds of shiny clothes on, and then this guy walked around and he was throwing water on people, and then had a smoke machine, you know, with the chin and all the smoke. It was, I thought it was very entertaining, you know. I didn't know what was going to happen. And then at the end of the mass, the priest came up and he got some crackers and wine out and shared it with everybody. This was good stuff.
In closing, Brian,
I was only an 11-year-old, and I'm thinking, and at the end of it, the only thing that disappointed me was the fact nobody gave him a round of applause. I thought he'd done very well. Nothing. They just walked out.
Brian, in closing, how important is having a sense of humor being in the business that you're in?
Oh, I think it's. You have to have one. If you don't, I've seen people who don't have a sense of humor at all, and they're very sad and lonely. And I don't mean that about that. You just, you know, you've got to laugh at yourself. You've got to laugh at this business. You have to, because it's pretendy, the whole thing. You know, you're singing and having that talent to be a good, you know, guitarist or singer or drummer and everything. But you've got to laugh. The tension is always great. You know, we've lost Taylor Hawkins. What a lovely, lovely man. He was, that's why everybody loved him. He had a wonderful sense of humor and friendly and always willing to laugh. And, you know, so, yes, I would say a bit of sense of humor is very important. You know, especially on long tours, you know, and things like that, because there's a lot of boring traveling goes on, you know.
Yes. So
you have to just have a sense of humor about it all.
Oh, well, thank you for the sense of humor. Thank you for the joy of the music, Brian. Congratulations on the lives of Brian. And I'm so grateful that you are on my podcast.
Well, thank you very much there, Buzz. You take care, and a festive season greetings to everybody.
Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.